1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 to 4. At first glance, this paragraph doesn't seem to be of huge significance. It seems rather to be dealing with some local difficulty, some local issue, and Paul is sorting it out, and very good, but not much more. And yet, I believe a proper reading of this paragraph shows that it punches far, far above its weight. I think this paragraph is of high significance, a very important section. Let me explain what I mean. Let me read it first of all. Now about the collection for God's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Then, when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 to 4. Clearly, Paul is dealing with money. Always a very tricky subject. He will develop this much more fully in the second letter in chapters 8 and 9. The collection for God's people. Jerusalem is mentioned in verse 3. We are, I think, talking about the famine, the need, the want, the destitution of the believers in Judea. And it's the Macedonian and Greek churches that are collecting for the relief of these believers in affliction. And there's a lesson there. Money, care, relief of affliction, and destitution. I live in a country where political parties, governments, have introduced increasingly social welfare to the extent that they have really ruined this in the churches. The churches could no longer show the charity in the right sense, the love, the generosity that would make the world stand and look and stare and wonder. It's become an institution of the government now. But here we have it, as it should be amongst believers, a matter for the ecclesia. Believers in Macedonia and Galatia and other places caring for the saints in Judea. Well, is that all it's about? No. Paul gives instructions about the collection and so on and dealing with it, and there are lessons there. In particular, let me point out the in keeping with his income, the giving amongst believers. On the first day of the week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income. You notice that? In keeping with his income. Proportionate. You can tell at once we're in the new covenant. The old covenant giving was tithing and so on. In the new covenant, he's in proportion with his income. Does that mean tithing is absolutely wrong? Perhaps a good principle would be, it's a challenge to me, that if under the old covenant they gave a tenth, what should we give under the new covenant believer? What should we do? Remember the widow's mite. That seems to be an important principle. But we're living in the days of the new covenant here. And it should be in keeping with his income. But what I really want to bring out is this. I want you to start looking at verse 4. Paul says, if it seems advisable for me to go also, to Jerusalem, that is. they will accompany me. Notice what he says, if it seems advisable. What is he talking about? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 20 to 21, he expands on this, I think. He says that we want to do things, especially connected with money, that everybody will know that we have done it properly, with proper care and attention, and we have not cheated or defrauded. We think of men, we think of God in the eyes of the Lord, in the eyes of men. I would say, in the way that Paul has spoken in the past in this letter, in the eyes of God, of angels and men, and by men I mean the pagans and the believers. If it seems advisable, if it's necessary, and I think there may be an element of this about it, we want to do things decently and in order. As he says to the Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 3, at least in the NIV, there must not be even a hint of immorality amongst you. Not even a hint of it. Be careful what men can deduce, wrongly perhaps, but be careful. And here is a great principle. We must be conscious of God's eye, the eyes of angels upon us, the eyes of men, other believers, and the eyes of the world. And Paul is conscious of this. There may be other meanings in this, if it seems advisable, if it seems the right thing to do at this time, if it's God's will and so on, but at least he's speaking, I think, in terms of conscious of what men may think and what men may see. So I see that as an important principle too. Giving in proportion, caring for other believers, and this sense of the consciousness of God, of man, and angels watching. But I want you to contrast verse 4 with verses 1 and 2. Verse 4, if it seems advisable for me. If it seems advisable. Verse 1, now about the collection for God's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of the week, each one of you should set aside, and so on. What am I pointing out? In verses 1 and 2, there is command. There is a dogmatic assertion. Do what I told you. Do what I tell you. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. Each one of you should, must. In verse 4, it's apostolic, if you like, advice, what it seems right to do, advisable. But in verses 1 and 2, it's apostolic command, authority. And it's not just for the Corinthians, it's not just a local thing. It's for the Galatians too, and the Galatians churches, and it's for every believer, each one of you. And what is he saying? This money must be laid aside, set aside in keeping with a man's income, saving it up. It must be set aside on the first day of the week, on the first day of every week. Now, I haven't time to develop it here. I'm preparing a manuscript on it, and it's getting close to publication. But I do see here the apostle laying stress. Well, it's pretty clear he does. Doesn't seem to me, it is definite. The apostle is laying stress on the first day of every week. At the very least, therefore, seeing this comes in the compass of apostolic command, I am bound to say, on this passage alone, but it's not alone, on this passage alone, the first day of every week must have significance and importance for the churches, for the ecclesia, and for each and every believer. My book on the Lord's Day, as I say, is in preparation. I've already written on the Sabbath, Sabbath questions and Sabbath notes. You may have seen that. What he does not call this day, though, the first day, is the Christian Sabbath. If you want to see my arguments on that, you must read my Sabbath questions. But he doesn't call it the Christian Sabbath here. There is no such thing as the Christian Sabbath. That's a mixture of two words, one belonging to the New Covenant and the other belonging to the Old Covenant. The Christian Sabbath is Christ. Christ is my Sabbath. Hebrews 3 and 4. Christ is my rest. Christ is my salvation. Christ is my ceasing. Christ is my justification. Christ is my sanctification. Christ is my Sabbath. Christ is my all. But he's talking about a day of the week here. It's not the Christian Sabbath. It's the first day of every week. Now, whether this is the Lord's Day, I think it is. But I'll leave the argument to my book on the Lord's Day. But I do see this here. Here is the apostolic authority, apostolic command, laying stress upon the first day of every week for each and every believer in Corinth, in the Galatian churches, and of course, therefore, for all churches. I see, therefore, that at the very least from this passage, every believer should be thinking very seriously about what the apostle means and why he lays stress on the first day of every week. It is the day of Christ's resurrection. Is there more to it? Well, as I say, I must develop that another time in my book. Where the setting aside should be done, whether it should be home or within the assembly meeting place, there is some debate about that. But there's no debate about what he says. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do on the first day of every week. Each one of you should do this, in keeping with his income, for the care of this money. Then, when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction and so on, everything done decently in order. I'm afraid it's been rather a lecture in this discourse. Let me try and make some spiritual application. There is a difference between what seems advisable, what seems preferable, what seems, a matter of view or opinion or decision to be made, and apostolic command. And I want to be a man under the apostolic command, under the word of God. The law of Christ is what Christ has told me through his word is binding upon me. Not in any legal, dry, arid, harsh sense, but really for the glory of God. May I delight to serve him. The first day of the week, too. I want to know what this is and what this day must mean for me, and I want to enjoy it. I want to give devotedly to Christ. He says, in proportion. I want to care for other believers. I want to think of them. I thank them for their care for me and their prayers and their gifts to me and their care, the kindness to me in my need. And Paul's conscious of doing all things decently and honorably for the glory of God, to make a commendation of Christ to the world. And these are very powerful and searching spiritual lessons for us, brother and sister. And I put them to you, that we should have this care for one another, this concern to please God in all things, to be honorable and above board in all matters, to be under the apostolic word, to be obeying Scripture, and to be thinking of others and caring and loving one another in the power of God's Spirit, all for the glory of God in Christ. As I say, I believe this paragraph punches above its weight. First glance, it may just be seen to be a little local difficulty or issue, but I believe it has far-reaching implications for us all. May God help us as believers to walk in the light of his word for his glory. Amen.